So we are holding on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph by the first mission. Copy Amud
Zayin Amud Aleph.
Yep. We're up to the next. One of the people who are Chayiv Skila that we mentioned in the Mishnah back on Nun Gimel. Mishnah says Hamesis Zehed. The Mesis, meaning somebody who convinces other people to worship Avodah Zarah. This is, we're talking about a Hedyot. On the face of it, Rashi mentions on the basis of the Havam in the Gemara that what it means is as opposed to a Navi. A false Navi who tries to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah would be Chayiv Chenet. We'll learn about him in the 10th parak. But as opposed to a Hedyot, would be a non-Navi. There's different kinds of Mesis. In other words, there's really three different kinds of Mesis. In fact, they're listed in separate sections in the Torah. They're all in Parashat Yirmiyahu, one after the other. First, it talks about a person who claims to be a Navi, who claims to have a message from Hashem to worship Avodah Zarah. Number two, and there, by the way, the din is even if he's well known beforehand, you know he's been a genuine Navi all this time, but he says to worship Avodah Zarah even on a temporary basis, Navi Sheker, Misfasi
Bechene. And if he says not to worship Avodah Zarah, but not to worship Hashem.
Yes.
So abandon the Torah.
No,
same.
It would be the same thing. As opposed to, we'll see in the 10th parak, we'll see on Daf Tzadik that if he tells us to temporarily violate another mitzvah and he's already established as a Navi, then we're allowed to. Classic case being Eliyahu Bar Hakamna, where he brings the korban, even though the Beis Hamikdash was already standing right out of time 100 years.
Why did he bring
it? Because in that case, they had to have a show, they were having a showdown against the Nevi'a Baal to show the Jewish people once and for all that Hashem is the true God, the true power, and not Baal.
He needed a
carbon. He needed the people. Yeah, but that's part of the season. The priests, the Baal, are going to bring their carbon, and Elisha and Eliyahu is going to bring their carbon, and whichever one fire comes down on the mizbeach shows that's the real Hashem. That's the real power. Anyway.
But is this for to say, like, the I didn't. I was joking. You gave it all to Hashem before. So if you gave all to Hashem, so what's my speaking like bubbles? I didn't convince you. You want to do it yourself. You only gave all to Hashem.
Yeah, but the matter. A person who tries to convince other people to worship Avodah Zarah, he deserves to be punished, even just for the trying. Yeah.
You don't know if he can convince anybody, right?
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, we'll see that in a minute. Okay, so number one, case number one is a Navi who's trying to convince other people. On the face of it, our Mishnah is not talking about that, but we'll see in the Gemara, maybe it is. Number two is, the second one the Torah talks about is that a close friend or relative or what have you of yours tries to be Mesis, he tries to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah. That's going to be the main subject of our Mishnah.
What's the difference?
We'll see. And then the third one is somebody who convinces an entire city to worship Avodah Zarah and makes them an Irani Dach. So our Mishnah is going to be dealing primarily with the second kind, but we'll see in the Gemara. So a Mesis the Hedyot. A Mesis refers to a Hedyot, which again, on the face of it, a Hedyot as opposed to a Navi. The Hamesis Efe Hedyot. Furthermore, it has to be that he's Mesis an individual, as opposed to Rabim, for example, in Irani Dachas, then again, as we'll see in the Gemara, he also gets Chet. Rashi points out, by the way, now you're not going to say, if you're going to say, as the Havam of the Gemara does, that Hamesis is a Hedyot means as opposed to a Navi, why wouldn't you say Hamesis is a Hedyot means as opposed to being Mesis a Navi? Rashi says, because we have no basis for saying that there should be any difference in Halacha between whether the person you're trying to talk to is a Navi or just a regular citizen.
What did we say?
So therefore, that Hamesis is a Hedyot cannot mean a Hedyot as opposed to a Navi. It must mean a Hedyot, an individual as opposed to a group, as opposed to a Rabbi. Yeah. Although it's interesting, the Yerushalmi says a vort on it that the Hamesis is a Hedyot means because of necessity, even if up until now the person who was being talked to, even if up until now he was a Chacham, if he accepts what the Hamesis is saying and goes ahead, he's no longer a Chacham. He deserves to be called a Hedyot. We'll see in the Gemara that actually that's actually the meaning of a Hedyot in our Mishnah as well.
Previous Chacham, in other words?
Even if he was previously a Chacham, yeah, but now he just downgraded to a Hedyot. Okay, so how does the Mesis go about his job? Omar, he says, for example, yes, Yerub Amok and Pliny, there's a deity, there's an idol in such and such a place. Kach Echelas, this is how it eats. Kach Shoisa, this is how it drinks. Kach Mativa, Kach Maria, this is how it benefits those who worship it. This is how it harms those who don't. So he tries to convince somebody. And the Mishnah continues, Kol chayv misa shabbat Torah ein machminin aleihen. Any case where somebody is chayv misa, we know you have to have edim b'hasra. You never have the edim hide out. You never have a stake out for edim. In other words, you always have to have any other case of misas based in. You always have to have the person who is doing the avera knows that the edim are there, and they give him hasra, and his master asks him the misa, as we learned previously, that they warn him, or somebody there warns him, and he says, I know that, but I'm doing it anyway. In all other cases, then you're not allowed to have a stakeout. You can't have Adam hiding behind a fence of somebody or something. That'd be present.
Is that entrapment?
Well, we're going to see. So we'll talk soon about
that. Besides Shabbos,
No. Anything.
What other things?
Chutz mizu, except for this one case of Mesa where they can hide. So how do we do it? How does it work? Omel Shnayim. So if the Mesa starts by speaking to two people, then they themselves can be the Adam. They themselves can be the Edim, or maybe an Oisil based in the Sophonosa, and then they can bring him to based in and have him executed and have him. No, they themselves are two Edim. They themselves are two Edim, so no entrapment is needed. He came over to them and started telling them, yes, I would deserve more complaining, etc. So that itself is enough.
And he suggested that they do that.
Yeah, that they go and worship it. Yeah. So we'll talk soon. Let's learn through the Mishnah. Let's learn through the
cases. Without telling them anything. And let's see what they're going to do.
Maybe that also. I don't know. Okay. However, what about Omer LeEchad? What if the Mason speaks to only one person? One person is not enough to be an aid. So who Omer? So what the one person can say is Yesh li chaverim roitzim v'kach. So he can say, you know what? Wait, I have friends who might be interested in this also. Why don't you wait till we all get together and then you can tell us as a group. And if the guy in Hoya Arum, if the guy is shrewd and he realizes that if he tells it in front of a group, he's going to be in trouble, the Eni Yochel Adabu's name, and therefore this Mesis is not going to be willing to speak in front of a group, that's the case. Machminin lo Edim Achori Agedir. That is the case where we have Edim hide out as a stakeout behind a fence.
But you could apply that to anything.
No. We're saying only by a Mesis.
I know.
Fine.
But why can't you apply that to anything?
Because that's the
din.
Because only by a Mesis do you have that concept. Only by a Mesis. Since you have, we know that we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's other exceptions to the normal rules that are done for a Mesis. So we said, you're not allowed to have Rachmanis, you're not allowed to cover up for him. We said, unlike usually, for example, a person is exonerated by Beis Din, even if it was mistakenly, they're not allowed to bring him back and retry him. Whereas if they tried him and found him guilty, they have to try everything possible to find evidence to find him innocent. By a Mesis, it's the other way around. So by the same logic, therefore, a Mesis, you don't need the Edim to actually be present there. It's enough even if they're hiding behind a fence. So now the one person says, Emer Masha Mauta B'Yichud, tell me again what you told me by ourselves. In other words, Rashi explains B'Yichud meaning alone. Nobody's here, so go ahead, tell me what you were going to tell me. Up until now, he only told him Kacha Chelas Kach Shoseh. He didn't yet tell him, but yes. So the Mesis tell, or even, we'll see in a second, it could even be that previously the Mesis told him, but the point is there wasn't evidence, now you need evidence. So therefore he's telling him, tell me again, I'm interested in what you have to say, let me hear. So the guy says, the Mesis tells him, and the Musas, the person who he's talking to, has to tell him, what are you talking about? How can we abandon the Eivishter in heaven and go and worship wooden stones?
If he doesn't say that, meaning...
Wait. I'll tell you in a second. I'll tell you what the Yad Ramah says. Three different explanations for this. Wait. If the guy backs out and says, you know what, you're right, Taka, I don't know what I was talking about, then good. But if he says, if he says, no, this is our obligation, this is the right thing for us to do, then the people from the stakeout, the two Aiden behind the fence, bring them to Basin, and they give him skila. So it seems, the Mishnah seems to be saying that if he spoke to two Aiden, you don't need them to say, Heyach Naniach, but if he's speaking to one person, you do. So what's the distinction? So the Yad Ramah brings a couple of different possibilities. First of all, Tosfos talks about near the beginning of the Masechta. Even though we're saying that a Mesis does not need full-fledged Hatzra, Tosfos learns, and the Yad Ramah learns in his first explanation also, he needs something similar to Hatzra. You can't, after all, I mean, fine, you don't give him full-fledged Hatzra because he's a Mesis, but he needs something. So at least the idea is... because you always need Hatzra. So at least if he's telling to two people... It means that itself sort of amounts to a hasra. He himself knows that if he says it in front of two people, then he could be chayav misa, and he's going and doing it anyway. Therefore, they don't need to tell him, hey, ach naniach. But if it's one person, and you have the two Edom hiding behind the fence, then you need the Heich Naniach as at least a sort of Hasra. It's not telling him in so many words, if you do this, you're going to be Chayav Misa, but it's telling him, it's like giving him a chance to back out.
Why can't you give him a chance when there's two?
Because when there's two, he himself, the first explanation of the Yad Ramah is he knows himself that two is going to be Mechayev and Misa. So therefore, if he went ahead, if he was so ready to say it in front of two, it means already he's to ask him a Misa. It means he knows full well that these two are capable of taking him to Beis Din and getting him executed, as opposed to one.
You always have the obligation to tell him in front of one to give him a chance to...
But he doesn't necessarily come in front of one. Anyway, the Yad Ramah talks about another... Okay, but that's the thing. If that's why in front of one, therefore, when you bring him in front of others, then you have to give him that chance by saying, Heyach Naniach. Okay, that's one explanation anyway.
Well, but it could be the same way with two.
So that's the one explanation.
So
is,
the law,
again, the one explanation is he with two, he already knows. Another explanation,
well,
Yad Ramah says...
The law also is the same...
Yes, but we're saying for Mesis, you don't need full-fledged Hasra. You don't need to tell him in so many words. If you say this... No, it's not Midrabonin, but with Mesis, the Torah itself makes an exception.
The traditional
posuk by Mesis. Yeah, then the Yad Ramah gives a second explanation, which is, we don't want to say Heyach Naniach if there's two, because then how do you know when the guy retracts and says, you know what, you're right, forget about it, how do we know he's genuinely changing his mind? Maybe it's he's smart enough to realize, hey, there's two guys over here who are telling me, Heyach Naniach, obviously they're not on my side, they're going to take me to Beis Din if I say yes, so therefore I better just shut up. Mashenkin, if he's in front of one, he might feel, and the one tells him, Heyach Naniach, how can we abandon the Eidishter, and he changes his mind, that taka might be because he really taka changed his mind and he really wants to do trouble. That's the second. Then the Yad Ramah gives a third explanation, which is the one that he prefers, which is, the difference is, when he says it in front of two people, he himself started saying it. When you have only one person, you just mentioned a minute ago Yaakov entrapment. When he says it in front of one person, and we're saying you have to bring him in front of two people who are hiding behind a fence, and he's going to say it again, you're prompting him to say it. You're telling him, tell me again what you told me before. That would be entrapment. So therefore, you have to say, hey, Ethnaniah, you have to at least give him a chance to back out before the two guys jump out from behind the bushes and grab him and schlep him off the Beis Din. Otherwise, it's total entrapment. You raked him into it by telling him, tell me again what you said before. Okay. The Tiferet Yisrael, by the way, has a long discussion of the structure of this Mishnah. He explains what's going on over here is when the guy starts saying, yes, Yireh B'Makom Pliny, what you should do is, if you're one person by yourself, don't even let him finish what he's saying. Interrupt him and tell him, you know what, I don't have time for it right now. Come back and tell me another time. Then you arrange for the two aiding behind the fence.
Say that. Come back and tell me.
Yeah, no, wait. It may give the guy a chance to do trouble. Then you have the two aiding behind the gate. Then you tell him, when you have the two aiding hiding behind, so now you were in the middle of telling me something and I interrupted you. Tell me b'yichud. He explains b'yichud doesn't mean alone, like Rashi says. It means clearly. Spell out clearly what you were getting at. You were praising the Sefer Zohar. What are you getting at? And if the guy continues and says, I think that we should worship it, and you tell him, Heyach Naniach, and he says, Kach Chayav Aseinu, I think that this is the right thing to do, then already that's reason enough to see. Yeah, once he says, Nelech Benavid, yeah, there's no, yeah.
Right. Well, no, these are smart people. How can they believe in these silly
catchphrases? Okay, we talked about that the other day. Over Yom Tov, we learned about the whole thing of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. They had a powerful Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah in those days. The Anshei Knesset Gedolei Davened Davin to have it removed. Okay, onward. Ha'oyim Eilach Ve'Evod. If a person says, I will go and worship, or Neilach Ve'Evod, or he says, Evod, I will worship, or Eilach Ve'Evod, or I'll go and worship, which implies that the Getchke may not even be here right now. It may be some distance away. You have to go there. We still say, once he says, Eilach Ve'Evod, we still don't say, okay, but he might change his mind on the way. No, that's already reason enough. Rashi learns that all these Lashonis that we're going to learn over here are all the Mesis speaking. Some of the Lashonim learn, on the basis of the Gemara that we had before, which quoted this, that these are actually the responses that would make the Musas Chayiv. If we know the Musas, the one who's being spoken to, if he agrees to go along with it, then he's also Chayiv Misa. So Eilach Ve'Evod... Yes, that's
why
we discussed that. Because once the guy was made to him and he accepted it, then that makes him Chayiv Misa already.
But
it doesn't matter. The fact that he was Musas and he accepted it makes him...
We said according to
a number of different opinions over there. We said that was the distinction between whether, if he says it spontaneously, is one thing.
Is that considered Maisa?
No, it's not considered Maisa, but it's the equivalent of saying Keliyata. It's the equivalent of verbally saying, this is my God.
He needs to have two Adim.
Yeah, you'd still need two Adim. Yeah, you'd still need two Adim for the Musas as well, sure.
All opinions of...
Yeah, everybody, no, everybody would be to Aiden. But not
about Aiden, but he's hired. There's nobody says.
Well, we discussed it in the Gemara the other day. We had a couple of possibilities because we had different opinions exactly how to fit this. But hold on. We said in the Mishnah there that Hamakabloi Olav Leleka, that if somebody verbally accepts something as his God, that's enough to be Machayev and Mitzvah. But our Mishnah implies that you need to actually say, "I'm going to go worship him." So we had in the Gemara, we had a couple of different answers of how to make it work. One is it's talking about Yochid versus Rabim, when they're likely to change their mind, when not. One Abaya's answer was it depends whether he says it spontaneously or whether he was talked into it by somebody else. Rava says that it's the one that if he's given the whole introduction over here, kachi yochelas kachi chaisa, like in our mission of praising the idol, and he responds elach ve'ever, that's reason enough to be mechayiv him. As opposed to if he just says if the guy just tells him, why don't we go worship the Sabbath Zara, and he says elach ve'ever, that's not maybe reason enough to be mechayiv from Musa, the one who's receiving the words yet. Okay, so we have a few different answers over there. Anyways, but again, Rashi over here learns that the phrases in our Mishnah are all things that the Mesis is saying, in which case, for example, what about when he says, Evod or Eilach Ve'Evod, it's a singular, why is that considered Mesis? So the Kesef Mishnah means, what the Mishnah would mean is if he says, Eilach Ve'Evod, and how about you come along with me? That would be enough to be considered. He would say, Eilach Ve'Evod, and you, or something like that, whatever, that amounts in. Or Eilach Ve'Evod, I will go and worship. Neilach Ve'Navod, he says, let us go and worship. Or Azabeach, I will go and bring a korban. Eilach Ve'Azabeach, Neilach Ve'Azabeach. Akter, I'll burn something in honor of the Getchka. Eilach Ve'Akter, Neilach Ve'Akter. Anasech, I will pour something in honor of the Getchka. Eilach Ve'Anasech, Neilach Ve'Anasech. Eshtachve, I will bow to it. Eilach Ve'Eshtachve, Neilach Ve'Eshtachve. All those are considered terms that a mesis that would make a person chayev as a mesis, and according to the other Mephoshim, also as a musas. If the musas accepted and used any of these expressions in response, that would also make him chayev.
So it's common assurance, although it's not exclusively, he's not saying to him, but this is the common one.
Yes. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hamesis the Hegit. So we started off saying the mesis means a Hegit, implying time of the Hegit, implying the only reason why he's chayev skila is because he's a Hegit. A regular person, ha-Navi b'chenet, implying then that if he was a Navi who was telling people to, in Hashem's name, to go and worship Avodah Zarah, which automatically makes him a Navi Sheker, the Mishnah is implying b'chenet, that he wouldn't get skila, he would get chenet.
Why would he get chenet?
Because that's the Torah says, that a Navi Sheker, the Torah says, but in that section, in Parashas Re'eh, the Torah says, ha-Navi ahu echer l'machalem ahu yumot,
chenet
is molinian, indeed.
But why would he get a molinian penalty when he's a Navi?
Good question, but nevertheless, that is the fact. The Torah says Yumas, and it doesn't spell out Skila, so therefore that's it, you get Chenek. On the other hand, V'Hamesis Sarabim, then the Mishnah had continued, V'Hamesis Sahegit, on the other hand, the Mishnah had continued that somebody who is Mesis, an individual, implying time of the Yachid, again, why is he getting Skila? Because he was trying to be Mesis, an individual, Harabim, implying, but if he's trying to actually be Mesis, an entire city, B'Chenek, then he would actually get Chenek. Now, Mani, now who would our Mishnah be going like? Reb Shimon. Our Mishnah then would be going like Reb Shimon. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, which we will learn later on in the 10th Perek, Novi Shidiach the Skila, the Tanakama there says that a Novi who tries to convince other people falsely to worship Avodah Zarah gets Skila. Reb Shimon Emma Bechenek, and Reb Shimon says on the other hand he gets Chenek. Madicha Irani Dachas the Skila. Similarly, the Chachamim say the people who convince an entire city to worship Avodah Zarah, where it becomes an Irani Dachas, get Skila. Reb Shimon Emma Bechenek. And again, Reb Shimon says they get Chenek. Later on, when we learn about it in the Pays, we'll talk about over Sukkot, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about why it is. We'll learn in the Gemara over there why the Chachamim holds Skila for both of them and Reb Shimon holds Chenek for both of them. But them is the fact. So far, our Mishnah goes according to Reb Shimon.
For Reb Shimon, what was the
most? So according to Reb Shimon holds Sreifa is more stringent than Skila, but he still holds that Chenek is more lenient than either one of them. He holds Sreifa, Skila, Chenek, Herek. So fine, he says the Chamei Skila, Sreifa, Herek, Chenek. So fine, according to the Chachamim, Chenek is three levels down from Skila. According to Reb Shimon, it's two levels. According to Reb Shimon, it's one level down. Fine, but either way, it's still more lenient. So we'll learn in the Gemara over there why they hold their respective opinions. But okay, the point is, so far we have our Mishnah seems to go like Reb Shimon. However, Ema Sefer, but look at the Sefer, meaning the next Mishnah on our Amud. Sometimes the Gemara calls all the Mishnahs in one parak a Resha and a Sefer, because they're all one unit. And the Mishnah says, HaMediach, what is the definition of Mediach? Zeho Ema Neilach V'Navad Avodah Tzachavim. This is somebody who says to an entire city, let us go and worship Avodah Zarah. And Mediach also means that he pushes people off the... No, Mesis literally means somebody who tempts. Entices, yeah. Madiach means like he pushes them off the right way. Okay, whatever it is. So the Mishnah says, Hamadiach the Omer Nelech Benavid Avedis Tuchavim, Ve Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, and Rav Yehuda explains in the name of Rav, Madiche Irani Dachas Shonu. This is speaking not when we say Hamadiach Zeho Omer Nelech Benavid Avedis Tuchavim. Doesn't just mean that a person is speaking to just a group of people. It means he's speaking to an entire city and trying to convince them. And the Mishnah is saying, the next Mishnah is saying, he's Chayav Tefila, Asam Rabbanim. So that part goes according to the Rabbanim, who say that the Madiche Irani Dachas gets Tefila, as opposed to Rav Shimon would say they get Chenek. So Reisher of Shimon was Sefer Rabbanan. Are you telling me the beginning of all, are you telling me the first Mishnah is according to Reb Shimon and then it continues according to the Rabbanan? Yeah, it's not usual to do that.
At least you'll cheer the Rabbanan first and then Reb Shimon.
No, that's not the point. It's not a machlokes. I mean, it is a machlokes, but it's two different cases. But still, you wouldn't expect that two Mishnahs continuing one from the other should be one according to one opinion and the other according to the other.
Same topic.
Yeah. So, Ravina or Makula Rabbanan. So Ravina answers that the whole thing is according to the Rabbanan, meaning the first part, our Mishnah, is also according to the Rabbanan. The Mishnah is just telling us first the lesser Chiddush and then the greater Chiddush. In other words, our Mishnah does not start by saying, our Mishnah says Hamesis Lehediyot, not to imply that the same din wouldn't apply to Mesis Lerabim, but the Mishnah first starts by saying the more obvious thing. We thought that Hamesis Lehediyot means as opposed to somebody who's Mesis Lerabim.
Right.
Now we're saying, the Mishnah is mentioning Hamesis Lehediyot not to say the din of Mesis Lerabim would be different, but rather to say, Hamesis Lehediyot, that's the lesser Chiddush. Everybody agrees, both the Chachamim and Reb Shimon, that Hamesis Lehediyot, somebody who's Mesis an individual, definitely gets Tefillah. The Pasuk says so explicitly. Therefore, that's the lesser Chiddush. Then the next Mishnah continues with the bigger Chiddush. You should know that Rabbanan hold the same is true for somebody who is Madiach HaTzarabi, for somebody who talks to a whole city and makes them into a Neonidah.
Why is it bigger Chiddush?
Because Reb Shimon disagrees with that. Reb Shimon says they get Chenek. So therefore, it's a bigger chiddush for the Rabbanan to say, not only we say that he gets skila when it was a yachid, but also we disagree with Reb Shimon and say he gets skila, and say he gets skila if it was rabbim as well, not like Reb Shimon. Rapapa says, Ravina has explained then that our Mishnah is according to the Rabbanan. Rapapa is going to explain the other half of it. Ki katani mesis zehediyot lahachmana. When our Mishnah says mesis zehediyot, it doesn't mean that as opposed to somebody who's mesis the rabbim. It means any mesis can be called a hediyot because the word hediyot can mean also like a shoita and somebody who would treat lightly. This that we're saying in the Mishnah that we can do hachmana, this that we say in the Mishnah that you can have edim do a stakeout, that's something we would only do for a hediyot, for like a low down kind of person. So therefore, when the Mishnah says Hamesis, Rapapa is explaining
why
nothing. In other words, because the point is, if the guy was a
decent
person, we wouldn't do that to him.
That's the point.
In other words, when the Mishnah starts by saying Hamesis the Hedya, not like we thought that it means. Rapapa is explaining the first words of the Mishnah. That's the point. Ravina had explained the second clause of the Mishnah. What does Hamesis the Hediyot mean? Not as opposed to somebody who's Mesis the Rabbim. It's just the Mishnah is telling us first one and then the other. Rapapa is now going back and first that it's talking about an individual and then it's talking about that a person is Madiach the Rabbim. Rapapa is going back to the first words of our Mishnah, Hamesis the Hediyot. He's saying, why does the Mishnah say Hamesis the Hediyot? Not like we thought that it meant the Hediyot as opposed to a Novi, which then would mean that our Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon. Rather, Hamesis the Hediyot means we're calling the Mesis a Hediyot. We're going to treat him like a low-class person, and then we're going to do Hachmona to him. We're going to, as the Mishnah continues, go and have Adam hide out as a stakeout in order to trap him. Titania, as we learn in Abrai, so Shal Kocha. Now, by the way, before we continue, so Rashi learns the way we just said, that Ravina and Rapapa are not arguing, it's just Ravina is explaining the second clause of the Mishnah, according to the Rabbanan, and Rapapa is explaining the first clause according to the Rabbanan. Tosfos asks the question.
They agree with each other.
Yeah, they agree with each other. Tosfos asks the question that that's not the usual way to do it. I mean, if anything, Rapapa's statement should have been first because he's explaining the first words of the Mishnah, and then Ravina's should be next because he's explaining the next words. So Tosfos explains that actually Ravina is referring to all six words. Hamesis the Hediyot, the Hamesis as a Hediyot. Ravina is referring to all of them. That both of them, it's true. It means a Hediyot as opposed. It does mean a Hediyot as opposed to as opposed to a Navi, that again, that also is part of the Loi Zu Afzu. The Mishnah is telling us the lesser Chiddush, an ordinary individual who is Mesis, who we know is Chayef Skila, everybody agrees to that. And then later on, we'll talk about the Navi who is Mesis, where the later on, in the later Perek, we'll talk about the Navi who is Mesis, where the Chachamim hold is also Chayef Skila, which is the greater Chiddush. So therefore, in other words, Ravina and Rav Papa are arguing on the meaning of Hamesis the Hedyot. Does it taka mean a Hedyot as opposed to a Navi, or does it mean just anybody who's a Mesis is automatically classified as a Hedyot? Okay. The Tanya, as we learn in a Brai, so Shal Kochai v'Mesis Shabbat Torah Ein Machminin Aleihem. We said, like we said in the Mishnah, any other person who's Mechoyev Misa, we never have Edim hide out in order to trap them, Chutz Mizu, except for this one case of Mesis. How do we do it? So our Mishnah mentioned a case, for example, that you have the Edim hide behind a fence. That's assuming the guy's willing to talk out in the open. What if he's not? What if he's only willing to talk in a back room or something? What we do is then we light a candle in the inner room where this guy is going to be comfortable enough to say what he's going to say. And we have the Edim sit in the outer room. This way they can see him and hear his voice. That's why you need the candle, because otherwise they can't see him and you can't convict him. Because you have to see him.
Otherwise
there's no agent. Yeah, you can't just convict him based on his voice, because some people have similar voices. You have to be able to see him and hear his voice. But who ain't royo? It's enough light for them to be able to see. Yeah. Whatever. You have more.
You also have to be sure.
Okay, it depends. I mean, it depends on the layout of the rooms, I guess. I mean, I don't know. You get the Edim there ahead of time. You light the candle and
just speak long.
Whatever. So you bring the Edim there ahead of time. You light the candle and check. Are you going to be able to see me and hear me sitting at the table?
Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos?
Obviously not. You can't light candles on Shabbos.
No, not light candles.
Achmanis? That's a good question. Maybe, yeah. I mean, the Pashas, look, I mean, never mind the Achmanis. I mean, look, if a guy breaks Shabbos, by definition, that happens on Shabbos, and the Edom come after Shabbos to base in and give Edos about it, right? So I guess the same thing here, yeah. If they have to stake him out on Shabbos, then yeah, that's what they do. Okay. V'hu enid royo, so the Mesis does not see them. And again, Musa tells him, "Emma Masha Marta to be your foot. Tell me again what you told me in private. Now we're in private. We're alone. Nobody's going to hear." Or clearly, and the guy tells him, "Let's go worship Avodah Zarah." The Musa says to him, "How could we abandon the Eved Shtev and Avodah Avodah Zarah? How could we worship Avodah Zarah? If he changes his mind, good. If he says, no, this is our obligation, this is what's right for us, so now the Edim who hear from the outside room, they bring him to Beis Din, the Sokla notes, and they give him a skill on his phone. Well, I'm based enough to try him, is the usual thing.
Edim will be shluchim of the basin to kill him.
No, well, that's a different matter. Well, yeah, once Basin convicts him, the Edim Tia by Vodash, they're the first one, they're the ones one of the Edim pushes him off, and the two Edim together put the stone on him, etc., as we discussed.
It's also not simple, they have to be clear that it was him.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Basin is still going to cross-examine them. Okay, and here we have a piece of Gemara that, again, the center is cut out, because at least there is the possibility that it's referring to Oyser Ish, and therefore the Gemara cut it out. It's the top line. At the top. It begins on the top line of this thing.
Barthol doesn't print it.
Yeah. V'chein also ben Stoda b'Lud. This is exactly what they did to Ben Stoda in Lud. That he was a Mesis, and they brought Edim to stake him out, and they heard him. They heard him trying to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah.
Why Ben Stoda?
Well, we'll see in a second why he's called Ben Stoda. It's La'ub Erev Pesach, and they hanged him on Erev Pesach.
This was happened to Yoshko.
So Yoshko was supposedly hanged on Erev Pesach. I mean, in their stories, they have that he was crucified by the Romans. You know, we're saying over here he was executed by Beis Din. Tosfos actually says it's not necessarily. First of all, Tosfos elsewhere, not over here, but Tosfos in Shabbos says not necessarily is this the same Yeshu Hanotzu who was mentioned in other places in Shas, because Tosfos says we're going to mention over here Papus Ben Yehuda in this connection. Papus Ben Yehuda, we know, lived in the time of Rabbi Akiva. He's the one who told Rabbi Akiva, how can you be teaching Torah in public? Isn't it dangerous? Rabbi Akiva is long after Yeshua ben Prachya, who was the Rebbe of Yeshua HaNotzi, as mentioned in the Gemara. So therefore, Tosfos over there in Shabbos says Lav Dafka is the same person, because it comes out they would have been like 200 years apart. Some other Rishonim disagree with that. They said there could have been more than half of Ben Yehuda. But also, we talked about back on Mem Gimel when we had another censored piece of Gemara, that you have different opinions among the Rishonim themselves. You have Rabbeinu Yechiel, for example, and the Rosh, who say that Yoizel, the one that the Christians believe in, is never mentioned anywhere in Shas, so therefore the one on Mem Gimel didn't refer to him, ours doesn't refer to him, there's going to be another one later. On Kuf Zayin, the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yechiel hold that none of those refer to him. Whereas the Ramban, in his Bikurach with the Christians, argued that Adrabi, yes, it is the same, and the Christians post-dated him. Really, he lived in the time of Yeshua Kfak, yeah, as we might have mentioned in a few places. But the Christians post-dated him by about 100 years.
Ramban says that.
They had a dispute, had a famous dispute.
He lived in Spain. Time of the Inquisition?
No, this was 200 years before the Inquisition. This is before the Inquisition, but still, Christians had reconquered large parts of Spain, and they were in charge over there. So yeah. Okay. Anyway.
To claim,
for example, that the Churban was as a punishment for rejecting him, or in order to make him fit with certain Sukkim and Daniel, whatever. Anyway. Okay. So the Gemara asked Ben Stodda. What are you calling him, Ben Stodda? Ben Pandira. We know that his name was Ben Pandira.
Pandira.
That was apparently the Lechura. Apparently, the assumption is.
Box of Pandaria.
No, I've never heard of that expression. But
okay, I understood.
Yeah. There is, by the way, there's a book out there called Todas Yeshu, which has all kinds of stories from a Jewish point of view about Yoshka making fun of him and putting him in his place and whatever, and it calls him Yeshu ben Pandira. There's also the Yerushalmi's, the Yerushalmi was written in Eretz Yisrael, where the Christians were already in charge. The Babli was written in Babel, but in the Yerushalmi, there's a couple of places where it speaks of Yeshu ben Pandira, so they knew he's called ben Pandira. So what ben Stodda? Amar of Chista, Baal Stodda, Boyal Pandira. The answer is, his mother's husband was Stodda, and therefore our Gemara is calling him ben Stodda, but really, his mother was Mizana with somebody else named Pandira, so Pandira is the real biological father, so therefore we call him ben Pandira, but he was known to the public as ben Stodda.
So he was not there.
Yeah. The question is, Baal Papus Ben Yehuda, what are you talking about? His mother's husband wasn't Stodda, his mother's husband was Papus Ben Yehuda. So that still doesn't work. Now, Ella Ema, Ema Stodda. No, you have to answer then, why is he called ben Stodda? Stodda was his mother's name. The problem with that is Miriam Megadla Neshaya, boy. But we know that his mother was Miriam Megadla Neshaya. Literally, Megadla Neshaya means either the one who braids women's hair or the one who raises women, like she was the head of an orphanage or something.
Megadla, yes, I am.
Megadla Neshaya. Megadla can either mean braids or raises. Neshaya means women. So either she braided women's hair or she raised women, like she ran an orphanage or something. Some people say that maybe, I mean, in the Christian scriptures, they have a character named Mary Magdalene, who was involved with Yoshka at one point. Some people want to say that maybe that's the same as the Miriam Magdalene Messiah of Argamana. Anyway, the answer is Kedamri, but from producer Sotas Domi Baila. The answer is her real name, Taka, was Miriam. But they nicknamed her Stodda or Sotta, like they say in Pompidusa, Sotas Domi Baila. This one strayed from her husband. In other words, she was Mizana with somebody else. This is Pandira, as we said before. So ultimately then, so the guy, his mother was Miriam, his father was Papus, his mother's nickname was Stodda, on the basis of Sotas Domi Baila, and the guy she was Mizana with was named Pandira. So therefore he's a mamzer, yeah. Okay. Mishnah continues. No, it means they gave him skila and then they hanged him at the end of the day, like he's supposed to do. I mean, again, you know, here also, our Gemara is saying they did this in Lud. I mean, all the Christian stories about Yoizel, he was, you know, it was done in Yerushalayim. So, again, is it the same person or is it not? It's, you know, hard to tell. All right, Mishnah says, HaMediach, what is the definition of Mediach, where we say he's Chayav Skila? Zeho'imen Melech V'Navad Avedes Kechavim. This is somebody who says, as we said before, to an Irani Dachas, said, let's go and worship Avedes Zarah. Next, the Mishnah had continued HaMachashev. We said that a person who does kishuk is chayav skila. What is the definition of that? Ha'oisa ma'isa chayav, only if he actually does an act of kishuk, v'loi ha'oichez asaynayim. Not if he does by sleight of hand.
Kishuk is magic, black magic.
So Rashi explains, Rashi gives the definition, the difference between oisa ma'isa and oichez asaynayim would be, let's say, for example, you had a field full of cucumbers, and the reason why Rashi mentions cucumbers is because later on in the Gemara, we're going to use that as a typical example of kishuk that they would do. So let's say you have a field of cucumbers. If he actually used kishuf to harvest the field, that would make him chayav misa. On the other hand, if he only makes it seem to us as though they all gathered in one place, but really afterwards we go and look in the field and we find the cucumbers still in their respective places, then he's potter. He's not chayav misa for that. It's still alive, but he's potter. He's potter from misa. The Rambam, who holds, that we talked about the other day, the Rambam holds that all of Kishuv is Sheker B'Chazav. There's no actual effect in the world at all. The whole thing is all pretend and nonsense. So the Rambam would have to understand that Oisim Maise is the person who did the rituals that are part of the Kishuv, burning the incense or whatever, as opposed to Oichaz Esainayim, where he just pretended like he's doing things and nothing actually happened. He didn't actually do any of the rituals. Then he wouldn't be Chayv Misa. He'd be Chayv Malkus. According to the Rambam, only if he did the rituals that accompany the Kishuv. Like we talked the other day about Oiv and Yidoni, where you offer incense and you this and that, whatever. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Hoda, Omer Rav, Madichi Eir Nidachas Tronu Kan, the Madiach of our Mishnah is talking about the Madichim of the Eir Nidachas, as we said before. In other words, you shouldn't think Zel Oimen Nelech Benav Adav Ez Chavim just means like he starts speaking to a group of people. No, it means Davka, the case of the Eir Nidachas. Then we said in the Mishnah, Machashef Zel Oitem Maisa. We said a Machashef is somebody who does the actual action of Kishuv, of magic. Turn it up on him. Now the Pasuk says like this, Machashefa Loisachaya, the Pasuk says in Parashas Mi'lotim. A Machashefa you should not allow to live. Machashefa literally means a witch, a female practitioner. But what does it mean? Echad Ishva Echad Isha. The same gene applies whether it was a man or a woman.
So what
are we saying? So why did it use the feminine? Because most of the people involved with Kishuv are women. Why is that? There's a couple of interesting reasons. So therefore it says Machashefa because that's the usual thing. That's the usual thing that there's more women doing it than men. Why is it there are attacks? There's a couple of interesting explanations that are given. The Maharal says because the Adam was created min ha'ofer by the Eibishter. The Chava was created like sort of after the fact. So therefore, like she's more of a change from the original. There's more like a byproduct sort of like a change from the original thing, and therefore she's more likely to be able to do kishuf, which is also trying to alter the nature of the world. There's a different explanation that I've seen. Different explanation that Ben Yehoyada says. I've also seen it from the Koshin of the Magid, that the reason is because women become tamei at certain times of the month. Therefore, it's more likely for them to get involved with Kerechot HaTrumah.
They also become tamei.
Men can become tamei, but it's not a cyclical thing.
Some people when they older come.
Yeah, that's true.
So the Rav Nashim is shopping, should that be the opposite? Rav Kishuv and the Nashim.
It's true. Yeah, it doesn't mean most women do kishuv. It means most kishuv practitioners are women. I'll tell you, by the way, Rav Shamshon of Paul Hirsch says a vort about it. He says the reason why he says it in the feminine, here these mechashvim are claiming that they can overturn nature and they can do whatever, and really all they're doing is just like these old women do, like, you know, like you see these old tarot card readers or whatever. You know, what they're doing means nothing more than what these old ladies do. The reason they're chayav misa is not because he holds with the Rambam, that they're not actually accomplishing anything in the world, but the reason why the Torah outlaws it and makes it chayav misa is because you're breaking down morality, basically. He says, why would you be doing kishuf? It's trying to get around what the Eivishter wants.
But if you go to a machshefa, you're chayv.
Then you're not chayv mitzvah for going to a machshefa. We said before, anishol behen ba'azara. You're also to do it. You're chayv alav, but you're not chayv mitzvah. Only the practitioner themselves.
They don't accomplish anything. The whole thing is fake.
That's according to the Rambam, and Rav Hirsch learns the same way also.
If machshefa knows that she's fake, but the guy who comes to her believes in it.
That may also
be.
Yeah. That's the problem. That's the problem, basically, that Rav Hirsch says, is that why is he doing it? Why is he going to a machashefer in the first place? Because he wants to get around how the Eivishter is running the world. Otherwise, why is he going through Kishuv? But he's down into the Eivishter.
But here we don't find to give him a love.
We give him a love,
yeah,
yes. But her, we find. Okay. Rav Yosef, okay, Misos and Mama, okay,
but
how...
She's not doing the inherent. She's the mother.
She's the one who's actually doing the action.
Well, she doesn't lose.
No, but that's not the point. The point is she's doing the action. You can't be mechayev and misa. You can't be mechayev and misa for non-action.
Well, she doesn't believe in your action.
Fine, it doesn't matter whether she believes or not. She's doing it. Yeah, same way a person doesn't matter whether a person believes in Chilul Shabbos or not. He's doing it.
So, as I said before, Macy's is chayev, but the Mus
is also chayev if he agrees. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Misos and Mama, okay, how do we execute a machashef or a machshefa? With which of the four misses? The Torah just says Leitzachaya. So which one is it? So we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yosi Agrili Oimer Nemakan Machshefa Leitzachaya. You have a pasuk here that says don't allow Machshefa to live. V'nemalahal Leitzachaya Kol Meshama. In Parashas Shoftim it says don't allow any of the seven nations of Canaan to live. So Malahal and the Saif, Akan the Saif. Just like over there with the seven nations, they're executed by the sword. So also Machshefa is executed by the sword. And Rav Akiva, remember Rav Akiva says, no. Nemakan machshefa leisachaya, v'nema lahalan in behemah in ishla yichya. By Matan Torah, it says that nobody is allowed to go up on Har Sinai, and anybody who does, whether man or animal, will not live. And they're tskila, malahalan was tskila, because the Pasuk says it, they're sako yisako la yora yiyara. So just like they're tskila, afkan is tskila. The same way over here, machashef gets tskila. Or Mishnah goes like Rav Akiva. Says, I have a better Gzeira Shava. I'm learning from the same wording. You're using it a different way. So what you my Gzeira Shava is better. Yeah. On the other hand, mine is stronger. Yes, but I'm learning a case that involves Jews from a case involving Jews. Where the Torah has, there's four different kinds of missus that can apply to Jews. So we find that when it came to Har Sinai, the one that was picked was Tzila. So therefore, we can say that any other case that involves Jews and it says Yichya or Lechaya should mean that. The opposite that you throw away from the Hobbit, you're trying to learn from Goyim. By them, the Torah only says there's one kind of mitzvah, hered, as we discussed before, by Shavu Nesus Nenaya. So therefore, my kavach, my zeta shava is there.
What hered means?
Hered means actually means chopping off his head.
Okay, it was not saif. Saif
and hered are the same thing. Saif means cruel. Hered means meaning. Okay.
Yeah.
No. We said Rabbi Moshe said
hered. No. Noun and verb.
One is a noun and yeah. Ben Azir says, I have a third way of learning, of learning what the punishment is, that I agree with Rabbi Akiva that it's Gila, but I learn from a different pasuk. Nema machshefa leitzachaya, the pasuk says you should not allow a machshefa to live. The nema, and then the next pasuk continues, called sheichem and behemah moisim. Anybody who lies, who has relations with an animal, shall be put to death. Somchu inyan lai, meaning in other words, the pasuk is putting them together in order to make a hekish.
One after the other,
yes. Ma sheichem and behemah b'skila, just like somebody who has relations with an animal gets skila, and that we know for sure. We learned earlier in the Perek because there's mamdom. Af machashef b'skila, so also machashef gets skila. Amalei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, why? Just because the pasuk puts two things one next to the other, no skila zeb skila. Should we take this person out of an easier death and give him skila, which is the harshest punishment? In other words, Tosfos explains on the basis of Gemara in Yevamos. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of the concept of smuchim. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of the concept that if you have two things, it says one din in the Torah and next hit another one, that you learn from one to the other. Smuchim means sometimes, like here, we have the Torah says, the Torah says, machshefa leisachaya, the next topic says, kol sheichem behemah moisumot, then as I want to learn from that, the same punishment that applies to one applies to the other. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't hold of that.
What does he hold of?
He's not one of the music.
What? He doesn't hold it.
Those people that call this say it's a midah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's one of it's not one of your Jumal midahs, but yeah.
Oh, so how are you learning the rest of
it? There's more than your Jumal midahs. We have the
Yeah.
We did learn in Yevamos, when we learned about this, that Rabbi Yehuda does agree that in Mishneh Torah, meaning in Chumash Devarim, we do Darshan Smuchim. Because what it is like this. In the rest of the Torah was dictated by the Eved Shittim Moshe. Not necessarily was it dictated all at one time. It could have been the Eved could have given the mitzvah machshefa leisachaya one day, and then a week later he gives a kol sheichem and behemah moisumot. Not necessarily. Just one after the other.
Write them one next to the other.
Fine. But nevertheless, though, they had to be written in some order, and if they were written in a different order. But when it comes to Mishneh Torah, which is all one long speech that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu chose to do these topics in a particular order shows that he meant for us to learn one from the other. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda holds. Ella. The fact that Moshe, when he was giving his last speech to the Jewish people, chose to put some topics in a certain order, and it's all one continuous speech. It's not like you have one day this, and then 2 days later that, or whatever. Therefore, we can doubt him from it, says Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Ella, no, Rabbi Yehuda says, that's in Devarim.
All the rest
Rabbi Yehuda says you can.
According to Jews.
Yeah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. Now, so Rabbi Yehuda says, now, I do agree with what you're saying, Ben Abdai, that he's Chayav Skila, but I'm going to learn it from a different place. The Torah tells us in general that machshefa lo tachayim. Then the Torah singles out and mentions at the end of Parashas Kedoshim that a person does oiv and yidoni the chayiv skila. So So they were all part of the general rule, the Lama Yatsu. So why are they singled out? Why are they mentioned separately? This is Dabar Shari Bakhlav Yatsu and Akhfal Lamed, Lola Lamed Al Asma Yatsu, El Lamed Al Fakul Yatsu, Lahakish Alehem. It's mentioned separately to make a hekish to them. The Lama Lach, and to tell you like this Ma Ovi Yadoni Viskila, just like Ovi Yadoni gets Skila, where the Torah explicitly tells us they get Skila, Ask Machashet the Skila, the same way any other Machashet also gets Skila. But it's all part of the same general category. So we have three different limudim. We have three different limudim. We have Rabbi Akiva's limud that he gets skila because the gzeira shavu like tichia from lo yichia. We have Ben Azai because of the smichus, because of machashet and kol sheichim and behema, and we have Rabbi Huda's because the davar shahi machlal of the yosin and of. So the question is, Rabbi Huda Nami, why, according to Rabbi Huda, don't we say, Lehu Ovi Yidoni Shnei Suma Boim Kechad? Why don't we say Fakert, according to Rabbi Huda? The Pasuk is singling out two types of fishes, Oiv and Yidoni. Why don't we say that means you have two Psukim, two that teach us the same, where you have the same din, V'chol Shnei Suma Boim Kechad in the London. And we know, in general, throughout Shas, when you have something like that, it means Fakert. You're not supposed to learn from it for everywhere else. Because if it was meant as a binyan av for everywhere else, it would have just said only Oiv or only Yidoni. And we would learn from it to the rest of the type of fish. Abed Abed says, Oiv and Yidoni. It should mean only Oiv and Yidoni get skila. The rest of them should not get skila. If the Torah wants to tell us in one particular case that a certain thing is a din, and it wants that we should understand that the same thing is true in any similar case, then it would only say in one case.
Yeah.
You can have binyan av shnei ksuvim, fine, one of them has a chumra that a different one doesn't have, and another one has a chumra the first one didn't have, fine, and then you have a shnei ksuvim. But if you have two psukim, if you have, for example, Oiv and Yidoni, there's no reason to think that Oiv is stronger than Yidoni, or Yidoni is stronger than Oiv. If the Torah mentions them separately and says they are chayav skila, maybe it's okay. It means only those two don't learn from them saying you don't learn from them saying the others. So how is Rabbi Yehuda if I can't learn from that? Amar Rabbi Zechariah, Ada Omra, in that case, that teaches us, Kasavar Rabbi Yehuda, Shnei Ksum Abayim Kachem Malamdin. From this very thing, we learn that Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that two psukim could teach us.
Opposite.
Yes. Rabbi Yehuda does agree, the Gemara mentioned in other places, that three psukim Abayim Kachem Malamdin. But not two. He holds two, fine. You could still find there's a Chumra in one over the other or whatever.
Even if there's a Chumra?
No, even if you don't. But conceivably, there could be a Chumra. We might have thought. Maybe because Oiv involves a mice and Yidoni doesn't, as we discussed the other day. Or maybe...
Chachamim
don't hold like that. They hold Shnei Ksuvim Avayim Kachadei Malamdin. That is why Rabbi Akiva needed his Gzeirah Shavah, and Ben Azai needed his Smukim. Because without that, we wouldn't know that other kinds of Machash can get skilled. Okay. Talking about Kishur, Armin of Lichanan, Loma Nikr Shmon Kshopim, why is this practice called Kshopim? Shema Chishin Tamalya Shamayla. Because they're Machish, the Tamalya Shamayla. Machish literally means weaken.
Contradict.
Tamalya Shamayla means the whole Tzva Shamayim, the Malachim, the everything that the Eivishter, through which the Eivishter runs the world. It actually comes from a Latin word related to a family. But whatever, it's used in many places in Shas to mean like the entourage, like the entourage. Tamar Shemayim means the entourage, meaning the malachim, the various kochis of kedusha that the Eved put in the word. So what is it? In other words, Rashi understands that it means that kishuf had that you can have somebody, for example, who was supposed to live, and because of kishuf they end up dying. So like the kishuf causes like kind of like overrides and weakens and then contradicts what the Pamal Yishamayla was supposed to be doing.
It could do what Hashem doesn't want.
Different Rishonim. Different Rishonim and Achronim talk about different aspects of this. First of all, there is the other possibility. Again, the Rambam, who holds that Kishuv has no reality at all, would understand that Machishin doesn't mean that they actually are able to contradict it. It means they claim to contradict it. They claim to be able to overturn what Tamal Yishamayla does. Really,
they could affect another person then to weaken his connection to Hashem because of them.
Well, maybe there is that. But with that said, of course, the Gemara is next going to say, Einon Milavade, the Eivishter runs the whole world. But usually we know that most people... Let's put it this way. We know there's a difference between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. That they get their hashpah through their sardin, and we get directly from the Eibishter. But even we ourselves, even we ourselves, especially for example, the Altareba talks about in the Geras HaTshuva that in the time of Golos we also received from Sitra Achra, and even the average person, a person who's not a tzaddik, doesn't necessarily receive only from Kirchus Kedusha. So therefore, and to a certain extent, those forces of nature that the Eibishter put in the world, and to a certain extent, your average person is subject to those. So when we say Shofam Amachishin Tamal Yishamayla, means they're able to, according to the opinions, again, not according to the Rambam, according to the opinions that Kishuv has real power, it means it's able to overturn things of nature. Most of the Rishonim hold like that.
The Rambam is
pretty much the only Rishonim.
But Hashem has to give them Rishus. It's all very basic. Hashem gave the Malach HaMoos right to kill.
Yes.
So we had to make a pause.
Yes. The point is, most people, what happens in their life on a day-to-day basis is mediated through Pamal Yishamayla, through the Malachim and whatnot. And it's a rare person, as the Gemara is going to say in the next piece, that's exclusively connected to the Eibishter. And therefore Kishuv has a power to affect that. So the next thing, the pasuk says Ein Oid Milabadir, there's no other power other than Eibishter, or nothing, no existence at all other than Eibishter, as we know from Siddus. Amar Kaninatu Ladvak Shopim means even not like we just said that Kishuv. Kishuv has no power against the Eibishter Zeris. So the Gemara gives an example.
Unless the Eibishter allows it.
There was once a certain woman, Dehavas Kamahabra, the Mishkra of Afra. She was working around and trying to take dirt, Mitusei Karej of Hanina, from under of Hanina's feet. She wanted to use that dirt to be able to do Kishuv.
Napoleon wanted to get the Alderic flip, right.
Yeah. But she was trying to take dirt from under his feet to use for her Kishuv. Amallah, so Rav Hanina tells her, if it's going to work out, if you're going to be able to do your kishur, Zilia Vidi, go ahead and do it. I'm not worried. Einod Milavadi,
I can say
it. Well, that's the point. In other words, that's the point. Based on what we were just saying, Rav Hanina knew that he's on a level where where he's directly connected. He has a direct pipeline to the
Right.
So he's telling her, you want to go do your kishur with the dirt from under my feet. I'm not worried about it. Einod Milavadi, your kishur has no possibility of harming me.
A question of how he could be so sure that
a person knows what level they're on.
But even the tzaddik.
Okay. But
no.
The question. The question. No, fine. She's a goiter, whatever.
Please help.
Okay. And besides, it probably wouldn't have helped you. The question is, Aini, one second, Aini, how could Rav Hanina tell that? We just said that Kishuv has a power, so why isn't Rav Hanina concerned?
Right.
And so Shani, Rav Hanina did not push Chosim. Rav Hanina is different because his Chosim were tremendous. So therefore, the Rashi says the expression, the Min HaShemayim, they'll be Moser themselves. The Malachim will be Moser themselves to save him from any Kishuv. Yes, it's true, Kishuv has a power over them, over what they accomplish, but they themselves, knowing that he's a tzaddik, would exert themselves all the harder to save him from the Kishuv.
Fine,
but in this case, he knows that Einod Milavada, and therefore that's it. There's nothing to talk about. Kishuv has no effect on that.
She only learned the
he said, Julia Vidi, Einod Milavada, yeah.
Yaakov Avinu didn't learn his question.
Yeah, but okay, the difference is that there was a danger of Derech HaTeva. Here it's a danger that's anyway outside of Teva. Come on, outside of Teva. Rav Hanina himself is on a level outside of Teva. Now we have, when we talk about Kishuv, naturally we have to think of the Mechashvim of Mitzrayim. That was the world center of Kishuv in those days, as we're going to see soon. So when it said, when the magicians of Mitzrayim tried to duplicate the Makkos, there's two different expressions that it uses. In one pasuk it says Bilotehem, and in the other pasuk it says they tried Bilahatehem. So what is the difference? Bilotehem, Elamite shading. When it says they tried to do it, Bilotehem, that means they were trying to use shading to accomplish. And they did. The first couple of times they were able to. They were able to. I mean, right, when Moshe came with a stick
Everything except one marker that would be...
Well, what is it? With the pre-markers, when Moshe came over there with a stick and then it turns it into a snake. So all of them also, and they also turn their sticks into snakes. Then you have later on by Makas Dam, it says that the Chaturim and Mitzrayim did Balatayim and by Makas Tvadea, that they were able to duplicate Makas Dam and Makas Tvadea. They weren't able to duplicate Makas Kinim. We'll talk about soon why not.
How Rambam could say it's nothing.
So the Rambam would understand that they did. The Rambam would understand that they did something that made Tari think that they. Yeah, but fine. So the Rambam would say, for example, that he did something that made everybody there look like they had turned their sticks into snakes. I guess so. I mean, for example, I can tell you, for example, you know, when they have every year before Pesach, you know, when they have these shows they put on for the kids to dramatize for them, the Makas, and then you see it in the Shayim and all. So what do they do? How do they do the water turning into blood? They put some kind of chemical powder in the cup ahead of time, and then when it reacts with the water, it turns red. So maybe according to the Rambam, maybe the Mitzrayim had something like that also. I don't know. Okay.
Is that Pirush Rambam on the Kumis?
No, not for that. Okay. The Balotehev, there is a Pirush from Rabbi Avraham ben Aramba. Maybe he talks about it, I don't know. Okay. So Balotehev Elamaita Shadim. So Balotehev means they were doing it by enlisting Shadim to do their help, to help them. The point is, Rashi says, Lotehem comes from a word meaning secret. Batovi Balot meaning secret. So therefore, Lotehem means the Shadim that hide out. They don't usually appear in public. Belahatehem Elamaita Kshopim. Belahatehem means that they did Kishuk, never mind Shadim, they did it on their own. Thus we find that the sword that the Eved put by the entrance to Gan Eden to prevent Adam and Chava from going back in is described as lahat, the blade of the revolving sword. In other words, it seems turned by itself. The same way, they were able to, these are tissues that they were able to do by themselves without having to enlist Shadim.
The blade?
No. Well, yeah,
What's the fire?
Yeah, that the Yemeshim puts over there at the Kruvim, at Lata Chayrim and Lapechet, Lishmur as Derechet Achayim, to guard the way that they can't go over to Beit Achayim. So we see over there, that Lahat means something that has its own independent, its own independent motion, like the Mechashim have their own independent powers, independent of the Sheikh. The Aruch actually has a gear to the other way around. But the Marsha that Lahatehem means involving Shadim and Lotehem means their own magic. But the Marsha explains based on the continuation of the Gemara that the continuation of the Gemara fits better with Rashi.
Oh, you know what the Bible says? Since they're using Shadim, they're not doing anything on their own.
Could also
Shadim produces.
Could be. Okay. All right. Amar Abaye, here's a way you can tell the difference. Dekafid amona shed. If you see that a magician is particular, that he has to use a particular keli or a particular instrument for it, then it means shed. It means that then he's doing the magic by means of a shed. The loy kafid amona. If he's not particular, he'll do it with any keli that's available. It means kshafin. Then it means kishu. Yes. Yeah. By the way, there is a good deal of discussion based on our Gemara over here in the next piece of Gemara. So we know kishuf you're not allowed to do, definitely not. The Mishnah said you're not yichayv stilo. What about enlisting a shed to do it for you? Is that something that's allowed or not? Is that also the fact that the Gemara is mentioning that there's a distinction, maybe it means one is osur and one is not. And later on, in the last perek, in perek chelik, we're going to have a short discussion over there about using shading. So some of the Rishonim say, as a matter of fact, yes, you're not allowed to do kishuf, of course not, but you are allowed to ask a shed to help you to do a certain task. Other Rishonim say that no. The Gemara later on is maybe you're allowed to ask them something and get an answer, but not actually enlist them to do something.
But that would
still be considered a form of kishuf. Maybe not quite skill, but at least...
Those are former Jews.
Where are they? Shlomo had Ashmedai living by him. It doesn't say he had to do anything. No, he didn't. It doesn't say.
What did he eat?
He had him around. He kept him a prisoner because he didn't want him to. Once he had tricked him out of his hiding place over there to tell him where the and he asked him where the shomer is. He didn't want Ashmedai to just go back and then be able to resume his former life. So he kept him prisoner, and we have the whole story over there about how Ashmedai eventually kicked Shlomo off the throne and ruled in his place for a while. Yeah.
So he helped him find
well, he didn't actually, he said, I myself don't know where it is, but the Nagatura, this wild hen knows where it is, etc. Yeah. Yeah.
There are some Hasidic stories I read, that they used, I think, Shadim
So, but is it that they actually use them to do something, or is it that they ask?
Fly out, or actually, they could fly somebody from
somewhere. Okay, so I don't know. So again, according to the Rishonim, we say that it's also, it would be it's also. I guess the difference is also, if the shed does it on his own, maybe it's Mutter. There's an interesting story in the Yerushalmi, also in Bereshit Rabbah, about a couple of the Chachamim that at one point were being threatened by one of the Roman emperors, and a shed who hangs out in the bathhouse helps them by carrying them over the wall to an audience.
And
to get
shed and
a shed is like a lesser kind of malach. The Gemara explains in Chagiga that shedim are like human beings in three ways and like malachim in three ways. So they're sort of like a transitional thing between them. Okay. I'm going
to
buy.
But shed is not the kibush of the...
No. Okay. I'm going to buy. Hilchus Kishofim Kehilchus Shabbos. The halachas of Kishof are similar to the halachas of Shabbos in the sense Yeshmehem is Skila. There are some things that are outright also on Rabbi Chaim Skila. The Yeshmehem Potter Aval also. There are other things that you're not allowed to do, but you're Potter from punishment, but you're still also to do them. The Yeshmehem Mutter Lachachila, and then you have kinds of things that you're Mutter to do Lachachila. Just like you have in Shabbos. What are the examples? Always a ma'isa b'skila. Somebody who does an actual act of tishuv, like we said in the Mishnah, gets skila. Oichas asay na'im. Somebody who's oichas asay na'im, who makes it appear that he did magic, potter avalos. And by the way, before we continue, I should mention there was a great deal of discussion beginning all the way from the Rambam and continuing all the way until nowadays about the question, Taka, what about, for example, tricks that involve sleight of hand, magic shows?
Right.
You have magic shows all the time by kids' parties and whatnot, and apparently a couple hundred years ago they did it by weddings as well. What are the justifications for it?
Right.
The Rambam, Taka, seems to say it would be out and out also. Many other achronim following that also say that it's taka osur, and for example, if you have it by a kid's party, whatever, you taka have to be moshe. On the other hand, other achronim find justifications for it. Moshe has a couple of truvas about it in Igros Moshe, where he discusses the pros and cons of it, and some other achronim talk about it also. One thing is, if it's clear, if you make it clear to begin with that there's no kochas atumah, there's no magical forces
right.
or whatever involved, I can do things and misdirect you or whatever, then it would be allowed, because then you're making it clear. There's no kochas, like this, oichas atayinayim would be where you make them think you have kochas atumah and really you don't.
But they know this.
You don't have kochas atumah. You explain to them,
right.
Machila, for example,
right.
explain to them how one of your tricks, for example, and therefore they understand that the whole thing is just,
everybody knows
just it's quick
true.
Motions or just
yeah.
misdirection or whatever, then it might be Moshe. Yeah. Okay. Alright.
Is there gas motion in English?
No. Okay. What is Mutter B'Chatzchila? What's an example of Kishruf that is Mutter B'Chatzchila? Kidder of Chanina V'Raboshia. Like we have the example of Chanina and Raboshia. Kol Ma'ale Shabbos, we learned this a couple of days ago. Kol Ma'ale Shabbos Havu Asti B'Hilch Yitzira. Every Erev Shabbos they would delve into Hilchot Yetzirah, meaning Sefer Yetzirah, and they would use the names of the Eveshter, or Mivri Lugu Egla Tilsa, they would create with that a third calf, meaning either one third of its growth or third born, whatever, good quality, and they would eat it, we'll cover Shabbos. So that kind of thing is Mutter, because that Kishruf involves where you're using Kochas HaTurmah. Here, they're not using Kochas HaTurmah, just the opposite. They're using Tav, they're using the Eveshter's name.
Why? They're creating something out of Shabbos.
They're creating something out of Shabbos in order to be able to eat it. So
there's still, you're not allowed to use.
But you're allowed to in this case. That's the Gemara saying. Mutter l'chatzchila. You're allowed to use it. You're allowed to use Sefer Yetzirah for that kind of thing. Al pi chassidus, it's not a good idea to use Kabbalah Maisis for various reasons. One of them being that we're not on that level anymore. But right. But nevertheless, it exists. And Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia were on the level to be able to use it. Also the Maharal with the creating the Golem, for example. By the way, the Maharal is not the only one. You know, we learned 2 days ago, we had Rava created a Golem.
Can you do that in front of Hidyotis?
No, I don't know. It probably wouldn't be a good idea to do it in front of Hidyotis, but it's allowed. You could do it. But as I should mention, by the way, anyway, I was going to say, you have many Gerli Yisrael who are known to have created Golem. But Chacham Tzvi meant in his Truva about Golems that I was telling you about a couple of days ago, he mentions that his ancestor, Rabbi Yo Baal Shem, made a Golem. Such things exist. Okay. He didn't go into the details, of course not. No, of course not.
Well, still, I just want to say that you said it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Omer Ravashi, so Ravashi says, let me give you an example. Chazino leila avur de Karna, I saw the father of Karna, he would blow his nose, the shoddy krichi dishiroi, and he would throw out of his nose pieces of cloth. So in other words, this wasn't kishuk, this was an example of Oshu Zatay Naim. This was an example, but it was a name, which is Potter Avalon.
He's
a cloth that's coming out of his nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, it wasn't kitchen. It was trickery, like he had them hidden in the back of the throat or whatever. Yeah.
Even in circles, they don't
call
tissue. They call it illusion.
Yeah, so see. So
they
call it illusion.
Illusion.
Okay. Going back to the Khartoumim, going back to the magicians of Egypt, by Yomra Khartoum Apare Efrelikimi, the says by Makas Kinim, the Khartoumim said to Pare, it's the finger of Hashem, we can't duplicate this Makka. Why is that? From here we learn that a shed is not able to create a creature smaller than a barley grain. So a louse is smaller than a barley grain, therefore they weren't able to create it. Therefore they weren't able to create it.
Kinim
is lice. And one interesting thing that it says, I think Ben Yehoyada says, why if this is the thing of Sa'ura, why is the limit of Sa'ura? Because a Sa'ura is the smallest size thing that's capable of being tummy. A piece of bone the size of a grain of barley is metame. Nothing smaller than that is ever metame. Therefore, it's smaller than that has the tumah. I have no connection with it.
In other words,
once it's a soda, it has the then koch zatruma can attach to it. If it's less than a soda, then it's then
small.
Yeah. Rapapa says no. Ha'elikim, I swear in the Eibush's name. After like a gamla nami le'moti bari, a shed can't create anything. Not even a large thing. Not even a camel. So what's the difference? Why could they do makas dam and tzvadeya, but not kim? The difference is what a shed can assemble, can gather together. A shed is able to, when he needs larger creatures, he's able to gather them together. Larger creatures are easier to gather. Smaller creatures, like lice, they don't have the strength to come from far away, therefore they weren't able to get their shade to gather and gather enough lice. In other words, the point is, you're not going to have the newest lice when the are trying to duplicate Makas Kinim. You're not going to have lice right nearby. The newest lice are going to be a mile away. A shed doesn't have the power to command the lice come walk a mile over here because Kinim lice don't have the power to walk that far. Mashenkin, for example, when it comes to Tzardaya, Tzardayim can make it from a mile away or whatever. Marsha says, by the way, that it's not even, they couldn't have said, in that case, forget about the shading, we'll just do it ourselves, because even Kishuv has its limits first. I mean, a Mechashev can't create... No, not geographic, but limits as far as the size of what it can create. He says first, I mean, a Mechashev can't create a whole new world. So even, fine, a Mechashev may not be, a Mechashev can't be, is not necessarily bound by the Sa'ura size that a shed is, but still, there's a limit to what it can do. One time Rav said to Rafia, I want to give you an example of magic that I saw. I once saw a Taya, an Arab, he took his sword, the guy de Lagamla, he cut up a camel, the Tarafle Batavla, then he rang a bell, he shook a bell to signal to it. The come and the camel got up completely intact again.
And he
rang the bell, and the camel came alive again. Amalei, he asked him, Labasa Hachi. So afterwards, Damu Parutami Havoi. Did you see on the ground any blood or any waste from the animal that would have been left behind? Ela, he achizas einayim. You didn't see any, so that wasn't real kishuv. That was an example of achizas einayim. The Arab doesn't have the ability to be Mechaya Mason, he just did an illusion. He made it look to you like the camel was cut up, but really he just had another camel hidden behind a curtain. Here's a couple of stories involving magic, involving Kishuv, real Kishuv this time. Ziri Iklal Alexandria Shemitzrayim. Ziri one time visited Alexandria in Egypt, and like we said before, Egypt was the world capital of Kishuv in those days. Zavan Chamra, he bought a donkey. When he came to give the donkey water to drink, Hoshar, then the machshepos, the kishuf, melted away, because it actually says any kishuf can be checked, anything that you have a suspicion that it's been affected by kishuf, check it using running water, mayim chayim, And if it was Kishuv, then the Kishuv will dissolve when it comes in contact with the water. Again, the idea is something Mepharshim say, because water is the Tara, like the water of the mikveh, and therefore it has the ability to take away the trauma of Kishuv. So when he came to give it a drink, Poshar, and the Kishuv melted away, become Gamla Duskanissa, and this donkey instead went back to original, a piece of wood, a piece of wood from a bridge. They use magic to turn it into a donkey. So he wanted to return it. It was a mechaktos. Omrulay, they told him, Ilav the Iriat, if it wasn't for the fact that you're the Iri, a great person, and we know we should make allowances for you, loy have a mahadrin Allah, we wouldn't return you your money. Mi ikad azavin midi hocha, because is there anybody over here who buys something v'lebodiklei amaya and doesn't first test it with the water? Everybody knows there's a place full of kishuv. So everybody should know when you buy something over here, better check it with water first to make sure it's the real article. Fine, you're Ziri, we'll make an exception to you, we'll refund you your money, but yeah.
When the Jews went out of Egypt, didn't Hashem destroy all the power of Egypt?
Hashem destroyed all the idols of Egypt, but no, they still had their magicians, they still had their power for long afterwards, as we see here. Another example, Yanai ikra lahushbi. The Yanai, Rashi says, by the way, Rashi had a girsa in front of him, Reb Yanai. But Rashi says no, because we're going to see in the story that he did kishuf, and therefore he can't have been Reb Yanai. And some of the other portions say that he didn't actually do kishuf, he was just counteracting somebody else's kishuf, whatever, anyway. Okay, so Yanai ikra lahushbi. The Yanai one time visited a certain inn, Omalahu Ashkian Maya. He asked them, give me a drink of water. They gave him a drink of shesisa, shesisa is flour mixed with water. That was a standard kind of drink in those days. I guess similar to, yeah. Joel Narok mentioned it. Yeah, I guess it was like nowadays you'd have like hot cocoa or something. Anyway. He saw that her lips, the innkeeper's wife, who was bringing him the drink, he saw that her lips were moving, so he realized she's a machshefa, she's casting a spell on it before she gives it to him. Shada kurtimine, he spilled out a little bit of the water onto the ground. Havo akraban, it turned into scorpions. So now he realized he was right to be suspicious. Well, he didn't drink it. Amalahu, he said to them, Anosha soy midithu. Okay, now I drank from yours. He pretended like he drank a little bit of it. Now I've drunk some of your potion. Atunami shosu midi. Fine, now you drink some of my portion.
There is a famous story.
No, from a different. Apparently, he did kishuv on another path.
There is a famous story about the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov. I forgot his name was maybe. He came to the place where there was Galach, and he also magic portion. And the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov came, and they exchanged a drink.
All right.
So the Talmud gave him just the water. Right. Just maybe Maim Chaim.
Yeah, there's also
yeah.
He made a bracha.
Whatever he gives you, he drinks. And this guy from the water, he collapsed.
There's a story with the Rambam involving a poison that the other guy mixed for him and whatever, yeah. Okay. Ashkia, so he gave her to drink. Havoi Chamra, and she turned into a donkey. Rochva, so he got on her and started riding her, stole it for Shuka, and went out to the marketplace. Also, Chavata Poshrala, then her friend of this lady, who realized that it was her, that she had been turned into a donkey by magic, came and dissolved, and she recognized, I don't know, she undid the magic and turned her back into a woman. Chazia the rocket, Vikoya Itza Bishukha, all of a sudden everybody sees that he's riding around on a woman's shoulders in the marketplace. By the way, I don't know, but I'll tell you, by the way.
He
saw it. I guess he was embarrassed. I'll tell you, by the way, though, that, you know, we learned at the top of the Omid, we talked about the fact that it says one after the other, Rabbi Yosef B'chor Shor, one of the Rishonim, says that juxtaposition also hints at the story over here where the Machshefa turned into an animal.
Nice. Yeah.
Another thing, going back to the magicians in Mitzrayim, the Pasuk is Vatala Tzvadeya Vatchasa Seret Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says that the Tzvadeya came up and covered the land of Mitzrayim. So what does it mean, the Tzvadeya in the singular?
Yeah.
Amar Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar said, the famous thing that we all learn as kids, Tzvadeya Achasoyta, there was one frog, Hishritza, and it produced babies. Umila Kolaris Mitzrayim, and it filled up the whole land of Mitzrayim.
Oh,
so of Kipanuri. This is actually a machlokes tanoi. Rabbi Akiva.
Then it doesn't seem to be a punishment then.
No, because the whole land is still full of frogs.
Yeah. why Hashem didn't create the whole, all the foes in one.
One second. Let's learn the actual opinions over here, and I'll tell you a couple of things about it. Rabbi Akiva, this is actually a machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Akiva says it was one frog, umila kolos Mitzrayim, and it filled up the whole land of Mitzrayim. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said to him, Akiva, malach etzel hagadah. What are you doing with Agadah? You have no business with Agadah. Chalei midabritech. I'll finish what you're saying. V'leiches on negoyim ba'olis, and go get involved with negoyim ba'olis, which are difficult areas of halacha, rather than Agadah is not your fort, is not your strong point. What does it mean? We say Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, there was only one frog, but it whistled or it made a noise. The Hainbow and all the other frogs in the world heard and came. Okay, so we all learn it. We all learn as kids the same thing, that one frog came out and the stream were hitting it, and more frogs came out of it. That's similar to what Rabbi Akiva is saying over here, although it's a little bit different because that's how the Medrash says it. I have a vote on one of my kids' tapes from about that. I don't know what their makor it is. That from there you see how irrational a person can get in their anger. That the first person hits the frog, and then all of a sudden you got two frogs over there. Anybody should realize with any common sense that the more you hit it, the worse you're going to be. And yet everybody is still furious and hitting it, and more frogs.
You might be the only one. Maybe it was only one that triggered it. Yeah. This stuff.
Okay. So by the way, so what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah have so much against Rabbi Akiva that he has to tell him klal tali b'davri sechos, the strong lashon? The Chassam Sofer says an interesting word on it. He says there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says like this: how does Hanani Mishal v'Azariah know that they should go into the furnace rather than bow down to the Chametz statue? Especially Tosfos talks about in some places that it wasn't even necessarily a Vedazara. It wasn't necessarily meant as a god. It was meant in honor of Nebuchadnezzar. So in that case, you're allowed to bow down to a statue. You're allowed to bow down in front of a statue of king.
What gave them the thing
to go on the Mitzvah? They made a kavod chomer from the frogs in the giant. Madoch, the frogs are cold-blooded creatures, and they went into hot ovens because the Eibushah told them to. How much more so? We should go into a hot oven for Kiddush Hashem. So what happened?
No,
but that's the point. They made a kavod chomer that we human beings who know the concept of Kiddush Hashem should go. So the Psalm says that's the verse. Rabbi Akiva is saying that all the frogs were created out of this one. In that case, it means they were created specially for this purpose, for Makkah Tzvadeah. In that case, where's the Kavah Chaimer? Of course, you're created for a certain purpose, for a certain Makkah, go wherever you're told. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah reacts very strongly. I don't want to hear of that. I want to hear that the Tzvadeim came from other places in the world. They were created just like regular frogs are created throughout history. And these particular ones went on the Siddur Nefesh and went into the oven. And therefore, Hanani Mishal v'Azariah can learn from that.
So if you're saying that the frog was doing a specific shlichus, you can't make kalkhoi.
Then you wouldn't be able to make kalkhoi. Because Hanani Mishal v'Azariah weren't specifically created in order to...
But they're animals, and you are human beings.
Okay, but first, the kalkhoi still wouldn't work out. You wouldn't have such a basis for learning that. I saw also a different verse that the two possibilities of what happened with Tzvadeim represents the idea. When you have an anti-Semite taking power in a country, and you have, for example, look at when Hitler, Yimach Shemo, took power in Germany, and all of a sudden the whole country is full of anti-Semites. Is it that up until now they were decent people, and because there is a Hitler in power, therefore all of them start listening to him? Or is it they were there all along, and just when a guy like that comes into power, then everybody, then they all start gathering? That reflects these two possibilities. If we say that Sfardea, that many others came out of it, that's the equivalent of saying that all the other anti-Semites in the country come out of the one. If you say that it whistled to them and they came, it means they were there all along. When they were present all along, and he just whistled and made it popular. I'm a Simon Batei.
So Rabbi Akiva was regarding how it was full of Agartha. If you put that in those things, would you know Agartha?
No. Agadah and Halacha are two different areas of Torah. A person can be great in one and then not such an expert in the other.
Of
course. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not saying that Rabbi Akiva should never learn Agadah. He's saying it's not your strong area. Yeah. In this case, you misunderstood. Telling him you misunderstood what happened over here. It doesn't mean in other areas of Agape you never have a right to speak. I mean,
right.
your primary area, right. your focus should be on what you do. Right. Yeah.
This is amazing. What was the problem? He shouldn't be seeing that. He shouldn't be seeing the 80. What's the problem with the Macy's sees the 80?
He won't want to speak. And why? If he knows there's Adam over there, he's not gonna want to say, let's go worship up at his altar. He knows they can then hang him off the base.
Yeah.
Well, not hang him on the spot, take him to base, whatever. Well, he might, but he knows he's taking more risk. The whole point why he might go to an individual is because he knows that individual can't testify against him in base. But that's what we said also, that the individual has to have the Adam hide out over there and have to tell him, hey, I'm the in order to give him a chance to change his mind. Yeah.
Thank you.